Wave your hands and give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the praise. In Jesus' precious name. Please be seated. Here is a place my heart cries out for, Lord. There is a place I am yearning for. It is a place where deep calls to the deep. I am overwhelmed by this deep longing, Lord. There is a place my heart cries out for, Lord. There is a place I am yearning for. It is a place where deep calls to the deep. Oh, it is a place of your dwelling, O Lord. The necessity of divine direction. As we begin to round off in our month, targeted for vision and divine direction, it's the necessity of divine direction. We have a twofold objective. Number one, understanding why divine direction is necessary. And number two, understanding our access to divine direction. Divine direction is a most critical requirement for life and for destiny. Psalm 32 and in verse 8, it said, I will instruct thee. I will teach thee in the way which thou should go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I don't want to leave you to yourself. I don't want to leave you to guesswork. I don't want to leave you to figure out the future. I will instruct thee. I will teach you in the way which you should go. And in case at times you didn't hear what I said, I will guide you with my eye. You know how a parent is using the eye to talk to the child who is trying to behave in certain ways where visitors are. I will guide you with my eye. I will make signs. I will give you signs in case you are not hearing. That is how critical divine direction is. In what way is divine direction necessary? I'm going to look at 12 of the necessities of divine direction. I'll give 6 in this service and 6 in the next service. And when they're talking about divine direction, we're talking about divine voice, hearing God's voice of direction, whether it's coming in the form of a vision or in form of hearing. So I'm going to use the word divine voice of direction. Divine voice of direction is key to vision fulfillment. You have a vision. God said, this is my plan and purpose for your life. How to fulfill that vision is a function of divine direction. In Jeremiah chapter 3, chapter 33 and in verse 3, he said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knewest not. Verse 16 of chapter 6 of Jeremiah. He says, stand in the way. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. And as for the old path, the one you know, the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. It is possible for the vision to be right, but the direction is absent, and the outcome is abortion of vision. So vision suffers abortion where it lacks direction. Say that again. Vision suffers abortion where it lacks direction. You are able to end in your destination. You are able to end in your destination. Able to end in your destination. Able to end in your destination. If you can have direction. Hallelujah. Very, very important. Direction is like you know where you are going. You know where you are going. You know where you are going. But you need to know how to get there. You know where you are going, but you need to know how to get there. Compare direction to the aircraft that is headed to a destination. And because of that, heading for that destination, it must be in touch with the control tower. Move here, move there, move up, move down. Other planes are coming. Without that contact, even though he knows where he's going, he may not reach there. Somebody say a loud amen. We're going to a country some time ago. And the flight was to go straight like this. But I think that there was a challenge with that particular country, with another country. And this plane was registered with that other country. Suddenly, the pilot realized that he was not allowed to fly across that country. So he had to go like this. That is, instead of going straight like this, he had to go like this. Go round. You can't fly across here. Fly round. So while flying round, he realized that by elongating the journey, the fuel will not take him to the final destination. But he was in touch with control towers. And then one of the towers said, why not? You can land here and refuel before continuing. So he landed, refueled, and continued. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That is the necessity of being in touch with the tower. If the journey must end well, and your fuel must not finish on the road, you must be in touch with the tower. If your destiny must not experience a crash, you must be in touch with the tower. I prophesy to somebody here today, you will not experience a crash of your destiny in the name of Jesus. Number two, divine voice of direction impart supernatural power to life. Your life is powered. Your destiny is powered by the voice of God. In Psalm 23, Psalm 29, and in verse 3 and 4, he said, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It is full of majesty. When God speaks into your life, that voice powers your life. That voice powers your destiny. You become a power man, a power woman with the voice of God. With direction from God. Everything you do carries power. You speak with power. You take steps that are backed with power. You see results that are powerful because you are in touch with His voice and with His direction. That is, there is an unusual level of confidence, an unusual level of audacity and force. That is, you live a forceful life when you are powered by His voice. No wonder Job said in Job chapter 6 and in verse 25, he said, how forcible are the right words? So God puts force in your life. He powered such to such a point where you are unstoppable and irresistible. Your life is unusually powered when you receive direction. That's the difference. That's the difference between a preaching and just a speaking. That's the difference between a preaching under the power of the Holy Ghost and just a seminar. When you are instructed, you are informed. But when you are taught under the guidance of the Spirit, you are imparted, you are empowered. You see, it's one thing for you to be told what to do. It's for another thing for the power to help you do it, to back it. So there is an empowerment to do what you are told to do when it comes from the realm of the Spirit and it comes from the speaking of God. That is, divine voice of direction imparts supernatural power into life. Number three, divine voice of direction brings victory over afflictions as well as the afflictor. When God speaks to you, He gives you the capacity to defeat afflictions and to defeat the afflictor. Mahoshatoka lagadiga lagadaharadasa. In Isaiah chapter 30 and in verse 31, he said, for through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down. We smote with a rod. Through the voice of the Lord, the Assyrian shall be beaten down. That what was beating you, you beat it by His voice. Through the voice of the Lord, revelation is the answer to affliction. Through the voice of the Lord, the Assyrian is beaten down that smote with a rod. That is, God will show you, if you do this, this will come to an end. If you do that, this will come to an end. If you take this kind of step, this situation will be over in your life. If you take this kind of step, that situation will be over in your life. I will never forget this story, because I believe I was preaching around this Rosin Area One church, where I preached about revelation is the cure for affliction. Woman with a mouth sore, ulcer in the mouth, and dreamt in the night that she saw herself chewing sugar cane. And she woke up in the morning and went and bought sugar cane and chewed the sugar cane, and the mouth sort dried. And the question you're asking is sugar cane a cure for mouth sore? Not necessarily. But like I said some time back, it was God who knew the mystery that brought that mouth sore. So he knew the mystery that will handle it. Am I communicating? It's mystery versus mystery. He knew the mystery that brought that sugar cane, and he alone knows the mystery that will cure. Through the voice of the Lord, I speak today, that revelation that will terminate your affliction, God is sending it your way right now in the name of Jesus. That divine direction that will end your affliction, God is sending it your way right now in the name of Jesus. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Divine voice of direction. Number four. Divine voice of direction activates divine provision and supplies. Divine provision and supplies. The Lord knows the place where your supply is. All you need to do is to follow him. It activates. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and in verse 2 all the way to verse 4. 1 Kings, and the word of the Lord came unto him, that was unto Elijah, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. The raven is waiting for you at the brook Cherith, but you are playing at the brook Kidron. I have commanded the raven to feed you there. The raven with your food is not found everywhere. The raven with your food is not found everywhere. It's found somewhere. He sent Peter to the sea. When you go to the sea, the first fish that comes out, open his mouth. And you bring out a coin. And when the tax collectors accosted Jesus and Peter, I believe that was Matthew chapter 17. And he went to that, not 27. Go to the sea, cast the hook, and take up the fish. If you were to go to the Mediterranean Sea and you went to the Atlantic Ocean, you see, the ocean is bigger than sea. There will be more breakthrough there. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Then you are on your own. You are practically on your own. All right, what about when he sent Elijah, this same Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 17, from verse 7. And the brook dried. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow. What? We what? Widow. Of all the people in Zarephath in Israel, we are sending me to a widow. Tell me to go to a merchant. Send me to a businessman, a billionaire. Yes, yes, yes. I've commanded a widow. And to worsen the matter, when he came, he greeted the widow. Widow, can you get me a cup of water there? Widow was going to bring water. I said, please, on your way, join bread with the water.
He said, if it was the water, I understand. But to say I should join bread with the water, we're about to eat the last food and die. God, is this the person you say you're sending me? The person you say you are sending me to is the person who has the final food to eat. The reason why many of us are frustrated is because we are moved with our eyes. We move by sight. What looks it may not be it. And what may not look it may be it. That's the major frustration of most people. They are moving. Oh, everybody is doing property business in Abuja. Everybody is doing oil and gas in Port Harcourt. Everybody is doing this. And everybody is running in the same direction. And God is saying, I'm sending you in the opposite direction. We are not. Where the absence of direction is the abundance of deprivation. Abundance of deprivation, abundance of scarcity and shortage. Hallelujah. I believe today that God is going to speak into somebody's ears, He's going to speak into somebody's understanding, and He's going to show you where your supply is waiting for you. You are that person God is speaking to. Say aloud, amen. Divine voice of direction is a guarantee or activate divine provision and supplies. Number five, divine voice of direction is key to life's preservation. Life's preservation. That is, you can be rescued from premature death. You can be rescued from premature destruction because you heard God. That man said, a voice said to him, if you had moved your car a little bit, you'd have been crushed. And before he could say anything, how many cartons of beer? 30 cartons or bottles of beer fell off. Beer that, can you imagine beer fall on somebody? Beer. It's one thing for something to hit somebody. Another thing is for it to be beer. Bottles of beer. He was saved. He was rescued because he heard the voice of God. Proverbs 28:29-18. He said, where there is no vision. That word vision, another translation call it divine guidance. People are wasted without divine guidance. People are wasted without divine guidance, without divine direction. Their life is wasted. You remember the story of how many times David escaped death because he was hearing God. In 1 Samuel 23, if you remember, the people of Keilah in verse 7 were almost going to hand over David to Saul. It was told to Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he's shut in by entering a town that has gates and bars. Then David said, oh Lord, thy God is, oh Lord God of Israel, your servant has suddenly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant has heard? Oh Lord God of Israel, I beseech you, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. He will come. Then David said, these people that I came to save when enemies wanted to destroy them, will they preserve me? Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, he will deliver you. Where direction is needed, faith is not a substitute. There are people using faith where what they need is direction. There was no faith that will make David escape Saul if he remained there. It's all like, let him come. I am here. After the Bible said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. The same God who who says the just shall live by faith is also telling you the guided shall escape by direction. You see, our challenge is that we use different principles for different things. The principles of prayer, what prayer will do, is different from what giving will do. Pray from now till tomorrow. If you don't understand the covenant of supernatural supplies, you will just be a very, very wretched prayer warrior. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The same thing. God is telling David, I am not asking you to pray. I am asking you to run. They will hand you over. Yes, they are the people you delivered. And how many of you know that if you walk by sight, you die on time? That's the truth. There are people you call friend that will neatly sell you to your enemies. Neatly, tight, very tidy. People you call friends. These were people he saved. They had conspired with enemies, and they were ready to hand him to Saul. If you read from verse 1, you would see when the people of Keilah were shut in, David came with his men, fought the enemies off, and delivered them. When it was time, they were ready to hand him over. That is why you need direction for preservation, because you will never know when your friend has become an enemy. You will never know when your friend has become a devil. You will never know when the one you thought you trusted has become a Judas. And the transition can happen like a switch. Somebody told me a story 2 days ago of people that is Pali, how are you? How is everything? He said he came across them in a shopping mall. Two or three of them. He was greeting them. They were looking straight at him and walked past. So what? What is this? They behaved like they... Just, you know the way somebody is looking at you, he knows you, you are seeing your eye contact, he's just walking and past. He said he became depressed. If people I call friends can behave like that, then who is a friend? That is why direction is needed. One young man, many, many years ago, testified in Riawan. He was in the Karumoto Park on the way to Jos. And he saw a man, like in white, tell him, come out of this vehicle. He looked at him and said, why? He said, come out of this vehicle. He obeyed, stepped out of the vehicle. Wait for another one. And he waited. He saw that vehicle on the road. I don't want to end the story so you don't feel depressed. Why didn't that man tell everybody inside the vehicle to calm down? Your revelation is a product of your relationship. You don't use a bulldozer to walk on a field that is not your own. The commitment of God is the commitment of those. He said, draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Very, very important. Divine direction. Divine direction. It will avert destruction. It will avert premature exit from this life. Please, it's not compulsory to go on every trip. It's not compulsory. Story of a servant of God was invited for a program. Say the more he prayed, the more he lost his peace. But he kept praying. He traveled, he drove across America. You know, in America, you can drive for 24 hours and you are still driving down straight road. Say he drove like for 19 hours, praying in tongues continuously. The more he prayed, the more he lost his peace. I think the program was in Mexico. He told the people, please, I'm not able to come. They said, oh no, the flight is booked. This is your flight. You are on this flight. Your seat number is this. Program, everybody is ready. This and that. He said, oh no, please, I'm not coming. I don't have a release. He couldn't go for that flight. But that particular flight, they booked him on. That flight did not reach its destination. That flight, 123 people on board, none survived. It's not compulsory. It's better to lose the airfare than to lose your life. Did you hear what I just said? It's better for the money to go than for your life to go. It's better for the door to close than for your destiny to close. You will not be cut short before your time. You will not be cut short before your time. Finally, for today, for this service, divine voice of direction is key to breaking through in life's endeavor. Life's endeavor, breaking through. Breaking through in life's endeavor. Peter said, I've toiled all night. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to verse 6. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I've toiled all night. I've toiled all night. It's possible to deploy energy and deploy resources in the wrong direction. One of the things that I can never recover from was the healing of the man at the beautiful gate. This man was in that sat at that temple. The Bible said if they sat him there daily. Acts chapter 3. They sat him there daily meant that Jesus, who was the embodiment, or who is, because he is, the embodiment of healing, passed by that man for as long as he entered the temple for 3.5 years and left him there without touching him. It was that temple Jesus was telling them, see this temple. It was in building for 46 years. Destroy it, I will raise it up. He passed by, he didn't touch the man. He didn't heal the man. Why? John chapter 5 verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. That is, I am actually hearing about who to pray for and who not to touch. Because I seek not to do my own will. I'm not struggling to achieve anything. But the will of him that sent me, as I hear. So, every day he passed. Father, should I pray for this man? No. What? Full of compassion. Lord, should I pray for this man? No. Father, what about this man? See, he's begging, seated there. The woman with the issue of blood was healed the other day. The one at the pool of Siloam was healed the other day. What about this one? No. He came, left the man, resurrected, and went. Then somebody he trained by name Peter and John were now coming to the same place. And here they showed up and said, silver and gold I have not, such as I have. I don't even understand the audacity of Peter. When you followed your master, you and him passed, you left the man. What makes you think that who your master left, you can raise? He must have heard. I think what God was emphasizing is, yes, the man need to be healed, son. But like I said some time back, it is not now, and it is not you. We need God. In ministry, we need God. In endeavor, we need God. To deliver us from this tragedy of wasted effort. Tragedy of wasted deployment. Am I communicating at all? Papa Yedeko said he went to Japan some time ago and he was preaching. While he was preaching, the anointing was so strong that the interpreter was crying. He said, oh Lord, thank you. This is a very great open door in this country. We're coming, before you can say praise the Lord, they got a building, they got everything ready. We are coming for mission. And he said, the Lord said, even though the need is here, it is not you I am sending. Wow. He said, that was when he realized that the need does not necessarily equal a call. Not you I'm sending. Many people followed many things into doing so many things, and at the end they just got tired. Just got exhausted. You see, in our place, that anger can send its owner to suffer tiredness. Just passion. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. You will not waste your life another time. You will not waste your energy another time. You will not waste your resources another time. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. Lift your hands and say, Father, I shall not waste my time. I shall not waste my energy. I cannot waste my resources another time. Shout the loudest amen. I realize that the message is very, very long. And I also realize the need to see how fast we summarize. I have a few more minutes. And so we have these six necessities of divine direction. Can you go through it one by one? Number one, the divine voice of direction is key to vision fulfillment. Number two, it imparts supernatural power to life. Number three, it brings victory over afflictions as well as the afflictor. Number four, it activates divine provision and supplies. Number five, it is key to life's preservation. Number six, it is key to breaking through in life's endeavor. Having said that, we are provoked to move forward into what is needed, what are the requirements for accessing God's voice of direction. What are the requirements? What is required? What is required? Number one, discern your need for his voice of direction. Discern your need for his voice of direction. Are you needy?
Jeremiah 6:16. It shows a scenario where it looks, talks about a people that seem not to understand their need. It said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk in it. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I don't need it. Can I say this to you? You cannot access his direction if you are comfortable with your situation. You cannot access God's direction if you are comfortable without it. You are comfortable with life as it is. Interest is the birthplace of insight. If there must be insight, there must be interest. God will not force on you what is of no interest to you. He said, cast not holy things to dogs, and don't throw your pearl to swine. God will not force anything on you that is of no interest to you. Discern your need. I don't know about you, but I permanently feel helpless without God, without his word. That is what drives us into fastings and prayings. That is what drives us into searchings in the word. That is what drives us. You are driven, you are pushed. Discern your need. Discern it.
I need thee every hour.
When it was time to marry, I knew I couldn't be married to just anybody. I pressed into God. When it was time to step into ministry, I knew I couldn't afford to do any trial and error. I can't afford to say, God called me, and come back tomorrow and say, I'm sorry, I didn't hear well. Neither can I afford to be laughed at and mocked at by those. In our university in those days, somebody ran out of the university in 50 years, medicine. After he stayed out for 1 year, he returned back and say he has come back. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I can't afford. I couldn't. So if I said God called me and I truly stepped into ministry, everybody who knows must, who sees must know that I was. So I pressed into God. Assumption will bring frustration. Assumption will bring regrets. Discern your need for his voice. Number two, possess the heart of meekness. Meekness. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. Psalm 25, verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Pride is the enemy of God's voice. Arrogance is the killer of direction. Only proud and arrogant people refuse to ask for direction even when they are lost. Do you understand? They're proud and arrogant people. They refuse to ask for direction even when they are lost. When they are lost. When they are lost. When they are lost. What will they say? What will they think of me? Hallelujah. I told you of one guy, very short like this. Many years ago, I told you the story many times. This guy was busy telling us, oh, don't come to Abuja. Oh, there are a lot of ministries there, this and that. By the time we started and God was doing such explosive things, he now came and said, what is the secret of church growth or ministry explosion? I know you must do this. I know you have to do this. I know. Before you can answer, he has answered. I didn't answer him one word. I say, Father, thank him for all that this man knows. In Jesus' name, amen. I say, you know everything already. There's nothing I can tell you. Nothing to add. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Pride is a disaster. Somebody is entering the pit, but he rather enter than to ask somebody, what would he think? You think he's better than me. And people take it to God. Calm down. Humble yourself. I've asked questions. My children have given me answers. Children. If God is going to direct you, you must come to that point in your life where your humility is proven. You must discern your need and you must possess meekness. That was what happened to Solomon. I am a child. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. Lord, if you leave me, I am wasted. If you leave me, I am gone. And God said, I'll give you direction. I'll give you wisdom. Possess the heart of meekness. And number three, I will stop here and take off. Tune your spirit to secure his signals and voice of direction. Tune your spirit to secure his signals and voice of direction. The meaning of that is, there is a positioning, a posturing for divine direction. That was what Habakkuk said in Habakkuk chapter 2 from verse 1. He said, I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon the tower. I will set myself in a position where I'm watching to see what he will say. We'll talk about that later on. But there is a posturing, a positioning. See, I was in the spirit of on the Lord's day and I heard. Revelation, I believe, chapter 1, verse 10. I positioned myself. I took a posture. I took a posture that made me be able to hear. That straight away says that there is not possible to hear in the flesh. It's not possible to hear and continue hearing in carnality. What then is the tuning, you know? Aso FM, Cool FM, Hot FM, Tall FM, Short FM. All the FMs are on right now, but are you hearing now? You need a device and you need to tune it. It will be wrong for you to say they are not saying anything. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith, his present continuous. God is always saying. What he may be saying may not be relevant to you, but he's talking. But there is a tuning in to hear. Whatever he's saying currently concerning the ministry, I need to hear. How do I tune my spirit
and posture to hear. That will be the focus of our discussion when we meet next. And that focus might be Wednesday. And for those who avoid church in midweek service, just find your way and be there. If you're interested in hearing, stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Angpa is enjoying their lives. Very soon they'll be having their crusade. Give the Lord the praise. Stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet everywhere you are. How many of you are blessed today? God spoke to you. You received something. Something to shout about. Is it something to shout about? 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 Is it something to celebrate? Is it something to rejoice about? Hallelujah! Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Lift up your hands. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. I think the first place to start with is the place of appreciation, the place of thanksgiving for what we have heard. Lift your hands and say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. Thank you
for everything
you have spoken to me,
today.
I am grateful, Lord,
in the name of Jesus.
Go ahead, open your mouth and speak to God. Go on ahead and speak to God. Speak to God. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Be glorified in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Lift up your hands and say after me, say, Father.
Father,
thank you
for your word to me.
Today.
Today.
I know that my life can never remain the same because of your word. Be glorified, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go on ahead and speak to God. Jesus.
Amen.
Lift your two hands and say, Father,
I am available
and ready
to hear your voice.
Help me, Lord,
to hear your voice
with clarity.
Help me, Lord,
to hear your voice
with clarity,
Lord,
in the name of Jesus.
Go ahead and speak to God. In Jesus' precious name.